Hey man, there's some dudes out there. They think they so smart they can figure my guy that all the way. Nah, he's too complex for all that. He's inexhaustible. He's too great for our minds to fully imagine. Yeah, look. Hey, you crazy if you think you done grabbed. The eternal ruler who is first in his last. Reigns in the present and he reigns in the past. Who was perfect and has nothing learned in the class. See a lot of dudes, I don't think they get it. Got a picture in the brain, but the king ain't fit it. Yeah, we got a little box, but the king ain't in it. You way too complex, don't get this thing twisted. I can learn by him who's on the throne.
Father God, Lord, we just want to say thank you, Father, for this night. Lord God, thank you for this place where we can come together, Father, in Jesus' name, and we can meet, and we can go into your word, Lord, and spend time, Father, seeking, Lord, you and your truth. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, as we would just open the scriptures, Lord, and spend some time before you. Father, we invite your spirit that leads and guides us into all truth to be with us in this time, Father, that every word that's spoken, Lord God, would be the words that you would have to come forward. Lord, we just bind every demonic spirit and every work of the devil. We break it and we cast it out, Lord. We pray for the free flow of your spirit in and through us, Lord. And Lord, I acknowledge openly that it's just your spirit, Lord, that's good, that's in me. So to your spirit, I do yield now and continually, Lord God, praying for your kingdom to come and your will be done as we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. All right. Psalm 149. Okay, we back into the series that we just started recently, Psalm 149. Okay, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Israel be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praise unto him with the tremble and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord." Okay. You know, we started a new series called, and we had a loose title for this one, called The Joy of the Saints. And you know, something I think one thing that happens, or at least one thing that happened even for me in my own life, was, you know, when a person starts to wake up to like their need for, I mean, like God draws them, they respond, and then they start to follow him. You know, the old school thing was, okay, now where do you go to church? Oh, you know Jesus? Okay, where do you go to church? And, you know, the thing about it was such an amazing trick that the devil worked out, which was, okay, here's these people that are now starting to walk with Christ. Quickly, before they know much of anything, let's have a system in place that has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof, and let's catch these people that perish for lack of knowledge, because Jesus said, you know, or God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Let's grab them before they know anything and stick them in this place and beat the Holy Spirit out of them, get them to never trust to follow God, get them to start looking to a man for their salvation, for their approval, for whatever, and get them to doubt the gifts and the way that God speaks to them, get them so mentally caught up into all kinds of junk that they never ever learn to just walk with the Father for themselves. And then, if depending on how much damage you can do to them in that system and in that setting, you can paralyze them for the rest of their life in the earth, if not take them back into a worse form of bondage. Like Jesus talked about the Pharisees saying, you know, they cross land and sea to make one convert, and after they do so, they turn them into twice the son of hell that they themselves are. So it's like, so if they can do that, they will. So it's pretty amazing when you see what the trick is of the devil that he works out to catch people. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, every organized church out there is bad. No, but the book of Jude talks about how even from the very start, how the early church structure got infiltrated by deceivers, by people that were here. In fact, let's go there. We read it through, I think, in a previous series, but just Jude is right before Revelation. And in verse 4, he says, "For there were certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, and how do they deny the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, one way is they deny the finished work of Christ. See, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, it is finished. That's what he said. Basically, there was no more sacrifice that needed to be paid for you and I to have access to God. There was no more. It was done. Everything was done. And so that was the fulfillment of the wrath of God necessary, the propitiation of our sins fulfilled there, the substitution necessary for you and I to have access to the Father, for us to be restored into a right relationship with God, for us to be able to now, when He draws us and calls us, to exercise our free will and to receive that gift. Now that link is made that we couldn't have before. But now what happened with the systems that were set up was that people would creep in, and through the soulful thinking of man, the soulish, the mind thinking of people, they then now used that system to in part deny the finished work of Christ Jesus. One way that people do that is saying, "No, you still need me. You still need me to get to God." Or something that Jesus didn't quite finish is what they say in their own way. So you need this tape. You need this special healing oil. You need this. You see what I'm saying? Like, so they work in a certain aspect even of commercialism into this whole thing to keep them in a position where they stand between you and God, and they lord it over you. That's the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. That's the whole thing about the Nicolaitans. Conquer the laity is what that means. In Revelation 2 and 3, when he talks about that, how Jesus says, "I hate that teaching of the Nicolaitans," that it's a the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. It's a thing that they use to lord it over someone else. Now, what we have in the body of Christ is the priesthood of all believers. And 1 Peter talks about the priesthood of all believers. Basically, you have one high priest, which is Christ Jesus, in the order of Melchizedek. And then everybody else who's in Christ Jesus, you are a royal priesthood. You are part of the priesthood of all believers. We have different areas of responsibility, yes, but no man lords it over anyone else. All of us in Christ Jesus are servants. All of us in Christ Jesus, one joint supply at the need of another. That's the way that the kingdom of God is. And when you're in connection with the head, you know now the position that you are to fulfill in the body of Christ and the assignment that you're going to do. The difference between that and the systems of man is that the systems of man work to now strip you of that, get you back into the global hierarchy and the religious manifestation of the world system, and to get you back. It keeps wanting to get you back, keeps wanting to pull you back in. So it never ever wants to let you go. So if it can't get you one way, it will get you to another. If it can't get you through sex and debauchery and get your mind all screwed up and strung out on drugs, it will then take you and flip you into a whole nother thing, which is now you're at every meeting on every Wednesday and Friday, and you're petrified to not go because you think if you don't go, now you've backslidden. You see what I'm saying? So it's the flip side of this whole thing of, wait, you know, what happens if God sends you out? What happens if He sends you to the wilderness for 3 years? You're going to miss a lot of Friday meetings. You know, I mean, so it's just people aren't free. So one of the things that God does is when you truly come into Christ Jesus is that He now will, because you have to, you develop a hunger for truth. Those that are His love truth. They want to really know what's real. And what He does is He starts to open up that truth to you. And one of the greatest things that when you realize, look, you don't need a man, you don't need anyone to get to the Father. You have direct access through the finished work of Christ Jesus. When you realize that, it makes a massive change in just the way that you relate to life. It makes a massive change in the way that you relate to your existence here. It makes a massive change in the way that you would approach every situation that comes your way. Yeah, we do have brothers and sisters in Christ that God puts around us, and they encourage us. They help to confirm sometimes things that God's speaking to our hearts. Sometimes if you're in a place where you're a bit confused, or they may help clarify some stuff for you. But God speaks directly to you. God speaks directly to me. Now, when you're in... Do you want some water? Now, when you're in the world and the world system, you always have a person lording over you. The world system is designed and built on people lording over each other. And their whole thing is to get as high in that hierarchy as they can. So they want to get up to the top so that they can crap on as many people below them as possible. And then, you know, they have to service those that are above them because that's the way that it works. And the top of that whole pyramid is Lucifer. You know, laughing at everybody. Because what happens is he just cuts asunder everybody that serves him. And, you know, the irony is that so many people have come into this world and people think somewhere along the way that they're going to be the ones that actually make it. That it's the same thing's not going to happen to them that happened to everybody else that came before them. You know, it's always a heartbreak for them. Okay. When we come into Christ, there is a huge paradigm shift that takes place. All right. Remember Psalm 149, but let's go to Acts 26. Acts, the book of Acts, was written because the apostles acted. The early church acted. Okay. Acts chapter 26 and verse 14 says, "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto you, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Okay. So, thank God, because we are falling to that category of those that have been taken from darkness into light, from the power of Satan unto God. I mean, just that alone, if nothing else ever happened in your life that was positive, that you whatever thought, just the fact that God has taken us from the power of Satan unto Him, and we are no longer under that control of the world system, you can praise God for all eternity just on that one thing alone. And thank Him for that. Because all of a sudden now, see, before that, we had no power. See, the system of the world is incredibly powerful. And you, of your own devices, of your own resources, of your own ability, you don't have a snowball's chance in hell of being able to resist that system of yourself. You can't. No one can. Because you've got your flesh, which is hardwired to default to the world system. You've got all those demonic forces that are there that are bludgeoning people into it continually, seducing people into it continually. And then you've got everything that's there in the natural, and the resources and the people that are given over to it as slaves that are working to harvest souls. So you take little puny me and you with our peanut brains, and what, 5 years of experience, you're a 5-year-old trying to like navigate through this thing from, I mean, they'll come at you from the womb. You think you got a shot, you know, to get out of this without them getting your soul? You know, there's no way. You cannot make it by yourself. But what God does is He trumps the whole thing. See, He is, I mean, every time. I mean, the difference between, I mean, you can't even compare. It's like putting I'm trying to compare, but it's like taking a featherweight boxer and putting him in the ring with a heavyweight that's never lost ever and never will, and taking an amateur. I mean, that's, you know, the world system trying to face up against God, who is the heavyweight. He'll always knock the heck out of it. So we serve the one that has the greater power. We serve the one that has the greater ability in this whole thing. So that's why when He takes us from darkness into light, from the power of Satan unto God, He literally rips us out of the hands of the world system and restores us unto Himself through the blood of Christ that was paid for the remission of sins. So He now makes the way for us to go from darkness into light, and the substitution's made. See, a price had to be paid. That price had to be paid. If there was no, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, Hebrews 9:22. So without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So that price had to be paid. Christ Jesus had to pay that. When He paid that, now He took that place for us, so now we then go free to serve God. We now go free into the kingdom of God, of His will drawing us and of our free will response in going that way. You still have free will. You can still choose the world if you want to, but you know, anyone that sees the light, that's one of His, it's like, gosh, why would I? This is the better deal. This is the only deal. This is the way to go. So, I mean, what the world offers, it has its own deal, yeah, but it's short time, limited pop. It wears off even before they get their new shiny, whatever it is. And then they're miserable. And they spend all their time trying to scrape to be ahead of the other guy and to put some other people down. And they have to, because they're part of that world system. The whole thing is to try to destroy the light. So they now have to spend their whole lives hunting and going after and attacking God's people and trying to keep them from ever waking up. Because, back to Psalm 149, when we wake up, when you realize what you have, you realize that you have power that God's put in you, that at any moment in time, if God just nudges you to do something with it, you can overthrow an entire nation. You can tear down an entire kingdom. Just one. And that's the story of someone like Elijah. You know, here Elijah, scriptures talk about how Elijah was a man just like you and me. Elijah was a regular guy, but he knew who he was, and he was positionally correct with the Father, so that when God wanted to do something with him, he was in a spiritual position with him to be able to respond, and for God to be able to do that through him. See, there's there's a side that we play in this whole thing too, which is to allow ourselves to go with the Father so that He can, one, prepare you and build your capacity so you can handle the responsibilities that He has for you. And then also to allow Him to bring you into a place where you're spiritually in a spot where you don't block the free flow of God's Spirit through you. See, God will accomplish His purposes, but you and I, we should desire to want to work with Him and not God working in spite of us. You know, there's a difference. There's those that flow with God, and then there's those that God does something with in spite of that person. You know, so He's still doing something, and sometimes people are so delusional in that situation that they think that God is, that they're flowing with God, but they're really missing it. He's doing something, yes, they see the hand of God working, but they don't realize that He's working in spite of them, because He's still going to accomplish His purposes. We always want to be in a place where we're in alignment with what God is doing. Okay. But back to Psalm 149. For the Lord, verse 4 says, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth." Bless you. "And a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord." Okay, who binds a king? I mean, who binds a noble? Who can go in? Okay. Well, is it the one who has greater authority? Is it the one that has greater power? Yeah. I mean, if you have a king and a stronger king shows up, he takes over that person's kingdom. So, and that's why all these kings fight and lord and try to one-up each other, and you know, they have their Napoleon complex and their Hitler world fantasy and whatever. But ultimately here, because we that flow with the kingdom of God, you know, when Elijah was surrounded and he asked that God would open the eyes of his servants so that he could see that those that were with them were greater than those that came against them. And when his eyes were opened in the spirit, he was able to see the chariots of fire and the angelic hosts that were on their side. And just in a moment, all these guys that showed up to try to take them out and hurt them were, you know, they just blinded them, you know, so they couldn't see. They just, you know, it's like, oh, you think you're so smart, you think you're so tough. Well, what happens if God takes away the use of your eyes for a little while? I mean, he did that to an entire army. You know, God will just, in a moment of time, he will move heaven and earth to come to the aid and the support of those that are his, to accomplish his purposes. So we get on that page. So even in a situation like this, you know, I don't care who got elected. It really doesn't matter to me. Because at the moment that God would say, for us to have a word, to say something in that situation, whatever it is that God gives us, because we serve the King of Kings. See, whoever the kings are of this world doesn't matter to me. I serve the King of Kings. Just like Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Yeah, ours isn't either. We were bought and paid for and brought into, as full-fledged sons and daughters of the living God, into the kingdom of heaven, which trumps all of this stuff. So now for us, but now since we're here, okay, well, we are here in this world among an inferior kingdom, among a kingdom with with really, really pathetic power, but it does have power. Power that if you didn't have the kingdom of God backing you, yeah, you'd be totally screwed. But because of the fact that you do have the kingdom of God, that the His kingdom, He lives within you. In Him you live and move and have your being. You have the power of the living God flowing through you. Because you have that working in and through you, you now trump all of it. So whatever the kings are, whatever the things it is that they make up in their minds, whatever it is that they're nobles and they're elites and all, it doesn't matter. At the moment that God moves you to do anything, it trumps the whole thing. So this is a little reminder for God's people. Now this is why too the world works so hard to get you caught up in meaningless activities and to get your mind deluded to the fact of who you are versus who they want you to think you are. See, you know, we used that example, I think, the last time we talked, which was just about, you know, if there was a bank in a certain town and there was a man that had a ton of money in the bank, and then the man died and there was a son that he had in the town, but the son didn't know that he had that money in the bank, you know, would the bank want that son to know that? No, of course not. Because if he never accesses what he has a right to, they'll keep it. Or they'll keep it away from him and they'll use it to their own whatever ends. Likewise, you know, you have access. Now, when we were brought into the kingdom of God by the finished work of Christ Jesus on the cross, what we have access to now, the kingdom is open to us now. And the covenant rights and benefits that we have as sons and daughters of the living God, children of the living God, are accessible to us right now, here. So that's why the world system works so desperately hard to keep you from realizing that. Because it doesn't want you to access that. It doesn't want you to pray. See, if you pray, if you take your petitions before God and you bring something before Him and you are in Him, you're living and moving and having your being, seeking first the kingdom, and God moves you to pray about something, it'll change. It changes the whole thing. So they can be working their game, building their house of cards, putting thousands of people to work on something, putting all of their resources into it, whatever, and then you, little old you, sit down and pray for 15 minutes about something, and the whole thing collapses. And they freak out because, you know, they just put in millions of dollars into trying to build this little thing that they were working on that was the Antichrist, and God moved you to pray a certain way, and now it's just collapsed. And then they go and start to try the whole thing again. And here it is, you, just with access to the kingdom, just send in the realm of spirit one little just tomahawk missile into the middle of the whole thing, and just now they're stuck. They can't fight that off. So, verse 9, to execute judgment upon them, the judgment written, this honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord. If you're one of the saints, you have that honor. And you are. You are one of His saints, so you have that honor. To execute upon them the judgment written. See, there's things that are written in this book that are cyclical, and there are other things that are, you know, on the way, and all of that is part and parcel of the drama that we get to live out in this life adventure. Now, we get the privilege as one of God's children to, when you realize what's going on and you wake up to it, then just to put the smack down. And we get that. So it's like, that's why too, it's like, it's, see, that's why they break open their coffers wide when there is a child of God that they want to try to buy. They bring it all, because if they can get that one to bow into the system, he's no longer a threat. That's why when Jesus, the devil went cut straight to the chase and just offered him everything. And he just said in Luke chapter 4, he said, look, I'll give you the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle. I'll give you everything, the all the kingdoms of the world and all of their splendor. I'll give it to you. Just bow your knee and worship me. Just hop into my system here, and for a limited time, you will have this offer. And Jesus is like, you know, depart from me. Yeah, he's like, oh, not waiting. Hold on. He said, you know, that was Peter. Wait, hang on a second. It was, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. But I want to get the exact wording. Hang on a second. Sometimes I paraphrase, and sometimes, okay. But Luke chapter 4, where he says, get thee behind me, Satan. You're right. Oh, gosh. All right, sorry. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. High five. Nicely done. Okay. So, now... What? Sure.
Once Satan offers all of these things, and then with the heresy, a child of God actually crosses over. There's no coming back.
You know, okay, this is one of those things like people like wonder in all of this. See, Satan, he ultimately, here's one thing that's there. You and I have free will. That's one thing that's just amazing. Like, all of us are made with this ability to choose. And we can choose the kingdom of God. We can choose the system of the world. And for those that are the fathers, he's reached out to them, and they've responded and chosen to follow him. And those that are the world's, they've chosen of their heart to serve the world and the world system. Now, you know, in all of that too, there's a mystery that's being worked out, which is that God knows those that are his. And there are people that I know that, you know, they were in the world and then God drew them out. And we were all in the world and God drew us out. So it's like, so God drew us out, pulled us out of that system and redeemed us unto himself. So there are those that are in there that, you know, like, and see, this is why you can't go on a surface level. He knows that those that are his, we deal with where we are right now in this point. And we basically let the Spirit of God lead us and guide us regarding who is around right now. But as far as like, you know, is somebody, you know, at this point in time, does this person, will they, you know, it's like that. I think there's going to be a lot of people surprised at people that they thought were gods, that they find out were not. You know, and other ones that they thought were not, that they find out really were. You know, so you can't go on a surface appearance. You can't go on, and sometimes too.
I've been times where, you know, people have slipped up, gone over, and come back.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but the thing about that, there's a difference between somebody slipping up and somebody actually bowing their knee to that world system that's at enmity with God and serving that. Yeah, and ultimately it is a heart thing. It's a heart condition. See, their goal, a big part of the goal of the whole system is to scalp your actual soul, is to get you to a point where, because, see, there's also, see, your body's like a car in that, you know, you need a body to exist in this dimension, in this paradigm. Now, inside the body, you have your spirit and you have your soul that are there, that are like, that's the passengers in this thing. But when the body dies, the spirit and the soul continue on. Now, if they can, they need cars too, and they've got all these spirits running around, and that's why they're looking to find where is it that they can get access, where is it that they can get a car. They need a car to drive around in this place. So ultimately what they're looking for is also those that will bow their knee to the world and the world system, so that they now, because they open the car door and they let in all these other things, that now those are the things driving around in and through that person. So even when somebody thinks, oh yeah, I'll bow my knee to try to get, you know, whatever, the joke on them is that, you know, at the end it's not even them that enjoys that success in the world system that they think it is. It's something else. I mean, have you ever just like, you look at some of these pictures of these people and you just look at the face, you're just like, gosh. I mean, it's not even empty. There's just like a demon looking back at you. You know what I mean? If you just take a snapshot of it, it's just like, whoa, what is that? You know, so because there is, you know, there is no fair play with the enemy at all. It's all out, full on warfare between the kingdom of God and him. Now, God allows us to be completely outnumbered in the natural for a reason, because it's already not a fair fight, and that we can destroy them, you know, completely, just like that. We can just obliterate them very, very fast.
It's amazing how constantly
you forget
that.
Yeah, we do. Because there's a psychological warfare that comes against us. The battle does go for your mind. But they work very hard to, you know, to get you off track like that. I mean, you know, my TV blowing up recently has been a huge blessing, because it's like I'm just like, you know, I just would flip that thing on occasionally and just let that kind of go. And, you know, I kind of went into like withdrawals for a little while afterwards, because I was used to just having the news on or whatever. And but now I'm just like, you know what? Wow. The world keeps spinning. Everything keeps turning. And, I, you know, like all of this drama that they were trying to, you know, bring to me. And all, now they just can't, because I don't have an access point. I'm sorry. I got, you know, maybe 10 minutes. I'll check something on, you know, the Google News or whatever. But otherwise, I'm like, I got, you know, I'm too busy going about with what God's got for me. And in this whole process too, my, you know, where's my thoughts? See, the people of God, when you allow him to work in your life, we take hold of the word that God gives us. And that word, as it grows in your life, builds faith and courage in you. Perfect love drives out all fear. So those that follow Christ, we don't have fear. We have a range of emotions we go through, but we're not afraid. You know, we are not a fearful people. That's the worlders. They are motivated by fear. So we can go forward into anything. And yeah, we'll feel certain emotions, but fear is not one of them. So whatever it is that we face too, part of the reason why is we take that back to the Father. And we're like, Lord, this is what I'm in, or this is what I'm dealing with. Lord, would you show me how to go forward in this? And then when he does, then you need to exercise the power that he's given you. Rather than, here's the difference in how you can pray. Rather than, dear Lord Jesus, would you please do this? Rather than that, in a situation you say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this. You see the difference? You know, rather than, he's given you that authority. He said, look, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go. Therefore, do the job. Therefore, you've been given it. Now do it. Now apply it. Don't keep coming back to me asking me for something I've already given you. You know, you see the difference? Like, why do you keep going back to the Lord, please, would you help me do this? Would you please help me? Like, I already gave you the power to do it. Go do it. I already gave you the power to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute judgment upon them, the judgment written, dishonor of all his saints, praise ye the Lord, thank God, sing on your bed. I mean, it's like, you realize what you have, use it. Use it in every situation. He'll lead and guide you. But see, right now too, see, this is where, again, it's brilliant. I mean, what the devil did, as far as like on a military strategy standpoint, brilliant. He suckered people into all these little boxes on a Sunday, where they go there one week at a time for a half, you know, for a half day, and bring some fried chicken, and, you know, buy some pillowcases. And that, for them, is the extent of what their life is in the world while they're slaving in the world system. Brilliant. He just tricked them all. Rather than, for those that woke up, and this is why God called them out. For those that had truth in their heart, he's been calling them out left and right. And then we call them into a wilderness to burn out all that crap that was in them, so that then they now take hold of what the truth of the gospel is, and then they exercise the power that God's given them. Question. Jesus said in John 10, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Are the people that are in those situations living the abundant life? The answer is no. No, 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 they're not. The people that live the abundant life are those that follow Christ. And if you follow Christ, He'll take you all over the place. He'll have you going this way and then He'll have you involved in all kinds of things. He'll have you quitting this job. He'll have you taking up something else. He'll have you starting this. He'll have you stopping that. Your life is going to be this... it's amazing. But if you don't follow Him, then what happens is you now get tricked into something else. So we have to go through this process as well. Now, I'm understanding more why scriptures tell us to consider it pure joy when we face trials and tribulations of every kind, because the testing of our faith builds that perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope doesn't disappoint. You know, when you first, like, you're just like, oh gosh, why am I going? But as you, like, get a bit, as you've been through a few rounds of that, and you've learned God's hand in taking you through, okay, God's hand in being able to pull you through these different things in life, as you've gone through these with Him, the realization that, well, one, He's going to always take you through, and that, two, you know, that He's building something into you. See, you have to go. If you didn't struggle, if you didn't wrestle with powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, I mean, there is no tougher clashing sport ever than wrestling. I used to wrestle, so I know. I mean, it was, and I did a bunch of other sports, but wrestling was the most demanding of, like, in physical encounter of any of the sports that I did. Swimming was different. I mean, that was a great sport and it was tiring and all that. But when you wrestled, you clashed, I mean, just in close with another person. And this is not that WWF, all that stage. No, this is like the proper, you know, Greco-Roman, like, just like 3 minute rounds, one, you know, it's like that whole, when you go through that, like, and so that's why when I read that narrative and when I read Ephesians 6, I'm like, okay, you know, that's now when you go through that, though, if you wrestle, you get in shape. That sport, the conditioning process for that sport, you are in phenomenal shape. And if you, I mean, the first time I think I did a wrestling match, I can remember it now. I thought I was going to physically, like, just die on the mat. Not because of the person, but because, like, I was just felt so unfit. You know, because, like, when, and I was a small guy, I was a kid, but, like, just because it was, like, I never experienced what that was to clash with another person where all of your energies were going into this smash with this other person, and you're just like, because you realize your level of fitness at that point in time, and the difference between that and 3 years later, you know, when I was, you know, wrestling the city championship, when, you know, like, the difference between when I started and, you know, you go through match and trial and training and testing and preparation and, you know, you're working overtime on your own and then you come back. And I mean, it's like all of that to then when you come down the line and now you're, you know, you win the whole thing. And it's like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, you, because now you're ready. And it's not that the match is not difficult, but you're conditioned and you're ready and you're prepared and you're fit for the task at hand. Too many people that are proposed followers of Christ are not fit. They're not ready. They are not ready physically. They are not ready mentally. They are not ready spiritually for the battle that's to take place. They're not ready. They have not prepared themselves. They have not disciplined themselves. They cannot. They're not ready to fight. They're not ready to war. They're not ready to wrestle. So God, you know, the thing is like, see, the fire comes, the tests come, the battle comes, whether you like it or not, it's on the way. And you can either prepare and discipline yourself, or you can just deal with it when it comes and shows up, but you'd be smashed and wiped away. So God, He gives us the power to do that. He gives us the power in Acts 1:8 to put to death everything in your life that's counter Him, so that you are a complete living representation of Him. And it's something that He draws us into. And it's something that's like, look, it's there. It's there for you. Use the power that I've given you for this. And then as you become a living representation, as an ambassador of Christ Jesus, an ambassador of the kingdom of God, everywhere that you go, you now can take authority over that situation. You know, in the old school Roman times, when they would want to take over a kingdom, you know, or go into, I mean, because Rome was, you know, like, this is when a lot of the stuff was, like the New Testament was written under that kind of period. And so when they were relating to stuff that was within that context as well. And, you know, some of the stuff that even I read, you know, about how they would, like, they would go into a place and they would just send one guy in there as a representative of Rome into that fortified city or whatever, and the guy would just basically, as a representative of that place, say, okay, I'm showing up as a representative of the kingdom of Rome, and, you know, here's the deal. Either you surrender and you become part of this whole thing, or we're just going to obliterate you. Now, if they, and then, you know, that's, now he's got the authority of the kingdom of Rome to go in there and do that. And he's got the entire might of the kingdom that he's representing backing him up. So now when he goes into that situation, whatever happens in the end, like, they're going to have to deal with Rome. You know, now they are dealing with that kingdom, and here's a representative of that place coming in there. It may just be one person riding in on one horse, but they're stuck. So likewise, now that's kind of sort of what they're, you know, relating to when they're even writing the epistles for us. Likewise, here, little old me, little old you, but ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And I can go into any situation, into any place, among any set of worlders, coming from the superior, stronger kingdom of God by far, and go into that place and say, this is what God has given me to say to you. And you're stuck. You now have to deal with the reality that He is giving me to. And if you're a true servant of God and His word is flowing through you, you go ahead. You know, let it rip. Because in that situation, in that place, things will change. And the thing about it is that in the end, that place now has to deal with the kingdom and all of the resources of heaven that come to bear on that situation. So, you know, for us, we get that privilege to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor of all His saints. So we now, see, Christ Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. In Him we live and move, and we carry on that very work. Now, it was destroyed at the cross, but we go through and we get the joy of kicking the can around for a while before we go on to be with Him. And that's why they work so hard to try to keep you from ever realizing that. Now, there are things that you know, we can do to deter our, and to hinder that. But in those cases too, let the Spirit of God speak to you. When He speaks to you, clean up your act, do it quickly, be fast about it, and work to stay on track with them, because there's something more important going on here than your job, your retirement, your relationships, you see, like, all the, what is all that? That's all, again, worldly programming. It's all programming. It's, people are programmed. You are bludgeoned with this from the moment that you are 7. What are you going to do when you grow up? What do you mean, what am I going to do when I grow up? I'm an eternal being. I'm doing it right now. I'm an eternal being. I'm doing it right now. I am walking with, I'm just following the Son of God wherever He goes. Wherever He goes, I follow Him. I do whatever He says for me to do. That's it. I have no career. And yet I can do anything under the sun because He gives me wisdom and knowledge and understanding in how to do it. Anything that He has me put my hands to will do well and prosper because He blesses the work of my hands. And I don't have to worry about any resource in the natural because He said, seek first the kingdom in Matthew chapter 6. Seek first the kingdom and basically, you know, that He would give you whatever it is that you need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 33 onwards. So, what does that mean? Well, what that means is like, oh wow, all of a sudden now you mean to tell me that a promise for a child of God is, if I seek first His kingdom, that for all of the days of my life, that He will take care of every natural need that I have. Yeah. He'll take care of the needs that I have. That's it. Cool. That makes that easy. And then He said, look, what do the pagans do? The pagans go worrying about what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, how they... You know why? Because they themselves have no life in them. They don't have any life because they're cut off from the source of life, which is Christ. So what they have to do is they have to game and scam those that are the children of God, that are connected to life, that don't know who they are or what they're about. So they've got to scam them, game them, twist things, do what they can to get something from them. But then whatever they do, that is still a limited thing because they're still cut off from life. But whatever they got from them is a little lot of something that now is scarce. Because they only got a limited amount of it, so then they've got to scamper among each other to see who gets what where, try to hoard as much of it as they can, and then they're still building this deck of cards that could collapse at any time, this house of cards. So for them, it's like, they're perpetually in this thing of like, you never got enough. And if their system collapses, they lost everything that they have. They live in anxiety. We live free. We live free. Just, you know, Jesus talked about the birds. He said, look, consider the birds. They don't store away in barns. They don't do all that kind of stuff, but your Heavenly Father feeds them. You know, are you not much more valuable than they? Like, for you and I, He takes care of us. Super, super promise. Just grab that one alone. Start with that one. Just start with that one and realize, look, if you seek first the kingdom, that your needs will be taken care of. No matter what the situation is, no matter how it is that's going on. And you can take those promises back to the Father and be like, Lord, I'm seeking You first, I'm trusting You in this, I leave it all in Your hands and in Your care. Just show me, what is it that right now, in this moment in time, where is it that I'm supposed to be? What is it that You have me to do? Cool, super, wonderful. I'm good. Simple. Simple, simple, simple. Totally different way to relate. Excuse me. Okay. And ultimately, God is pulling us through all of this because there is a joy of being an overcomer of this world and of this world system. There is a massive joy for that. Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 talk about to Him who overcomes, to Him who overcomes, to Him who overcomes. It's like it's every church throughout time, throughout age, every individual, everywhere, ever. Three simple instructions that go to all of us in any situation, to him who hath an ear, to him, the individual who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So as an individual, not as a group, not as a collective, but as a single person, let that person hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Let him hear what he's saying to the body that you are part of. Let him hear what he's saying to you as an individual in that body, as part of that whole thing. And be in that position where you can hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. And then to him that overcomes. As you hear and as you obey and follow the will of God that he reveals and shows to you, you overcome. You overcome small battles, little ones, bigger ones, and ultimately the whole war is won in Christ Jesus. You overcome as you walk with him through this world. And there's an amazing joy that is there for those that are his, that overcome in and through him. And so time has gone quick, so I think we have to stop here for tonight. And I think we'll be able to pick this up again next week.